Exactly why we wanted you on this podcast is you have such a fervor for pushing, accelerating people into their passions because you are so passionate. And that's what this podcast is about, like celebrating your passion and then helping to get the word out and like fuel other people's passions. Not again, not just infatuations, but like your whole story is about continuing to follow. So, I want to ask about PT still. So is like PT just for sports and surgery?
Heck
I
no.
obviously know the answer,
Yes, you do know the answer to this, but
but
no. I treat the gamut, and PT can help the gamut. It's not just for athletes. It's not just for post-surgical rehab. I treat people with digestive issues. I treat families or wannabe families with infertility issues. That means male infertility, female infertility. I treat babies. I treat people with neurological disorders. I help treat people that are kind of suffering from trauma and it's getting trapped in their body. That's just so many different facets of physical therapy that people don't realize. It's not just go and do these exercises. There is this other component of the manual work, and I think that's what's really missing nowadays is that
I
the
100% agree.
yeah, and treating the person like an individual and really getting to the root cause of things. So I gave a lecture at Keene University to their students, and I called it the Tale of Two Feet. So this was my like perfect example of like having to look at the whole picture and understanding the patient. So I had two women come into my office. They were actually best friends, and they both ironically had left-sided plantar fasciitis. So the first friend comes in. So plantar fasciitis is pain on the bottom of their foot with like standing and just kind of as it goes off on the bottom of the foot. So the first person, so he had the same medical diagnosis. So the first woman came in and she's like, "Well, I think it's because I'm on my feet all day." She did a profession that she was on her feet. And I was like, "Well, if that was the case, then it'd be both feet, not just one foot. And you've also been in this profession for 20 some years. So why is it happening now? Like, that doesn't make sense. Let's go back in your history. Let's figure out when this started." And so after kind of talking everything out, we figured out that she probably had a mild ankle sprain that had occurred a month prior to the foot, the plantar fasciitis starting, where she had stepped off a curb weird and kind of rolled her ankle. So thinking of the anatomy and how the bones probably shifted, like she kind of rolled it inward, so it shifted the bones. And so then when she's trying to stand properly, she had to really like overcompensate and really kind of flatten out her foot, which then stretched that plantar fascia and caused the plantar fasciitis. So for her, I needed to treat her foot. Like I needed to kind of treat the midfoot bones, things like that, just to improve the mechanisms and structure. And then that would take the pressure off the plantar fascia. So she leaves all excited because, like, oh, finally, because she'd been suffering for 6 months. She's like, finally, someone's figuring this out. I'm feeling better. So she calls her friend. She goes, "You have to see Heather. Like, she's a miracle worker." I was like, okay.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth, exactly. It's the best way you can do it. So she comes in and she's also had left-sided plantar fascia pain for 6 months. And we're going through it. I'm like, this didn't just happen. Like, what's going on? And we kind of keep going through, going through, going through. Can't figure out anything, and she's really trying to rack her brain. So I was like, okay. And so then I go to the questions that I ask every patient, and one of the questions I ask is, "Have you had any surgeries at all?" Because they're all thinking like, "Oh, I'll just, whatever surgery I had of that area." I'm like, no. I want to know all surgeries you've had." She goes, "Oh, well, I actually had bladder prolapse, where the bladder organ kind of collapses in and just doesn't allow for proper urination." So she's like, "I have a bladder sling in there, but it's only on the left-hand side." And I was like, "Oh, and when was it put in?" She goes, "8 months ago." I was like, "So 2 months prior to your foot pain starting." She's like, "Yeah, is that connected?" And I was like, "Let's see." So when I stood her up, her left side of her pelvis was way higher than the right side of her pelvis,
Which
which,
means that her foot isn't reaching the
yeah.
ground.
So her foot isn't reaching the ground. So she's having to strain that foot even more. So in that first session, I didn't touch her foot at all. I only treated in through her pelvis, and she came back. She hadn't been able to walk her dogs at all in like 2 months. She's like, "I just went for a 2 mile walk with my dogs with no pain. Like, what the heck happened? You didn't touch my foot." But so I was trying to explain to these college students, I was like, you need to look at the whole picture. You need to understand who your patient is. I always say, you give me 100 different people in a room with the same medical diagnosis, I'll give you 100 different reasons how they got to that medical diagnosis. The diagnosis is not what I want to know, it's the how you got there.
What is the driver? What is
What's the
it's
driver?
like you're putting the art back in medicine.
trying to
Wow.
by talking to the patients and understanding how everything works together. It's a very complicated system, and you really need to understand your fundamentals and then use deductive reasoning to figure out, okay, where do I need to go with this person? Because yeah, a more conventional place would have just treated her foot and she would feel okay, but it wouldn't last. And so usually when people come in through my door, it's like, well, I've tried everything, but nothing's worked. And I'm like, well,
And
because
we're
the main
like,
driver, yeah, I'm like, yay.
we have more options, actually.
And I always say, I'm like, I'm so happy, because then people will get really upset. Like, how did I not come to you sooner? How did I not know about this? Why don't people? And I say, let's not focus on that so much. What the good thing is that we figured out all the things that aren't wrong. You were able to rule out what wasn't working, like what's not the problem. And so I appreciate that. I always say, well, those other people made my job so much easier. I get to come in and look like the superstar because I'm able to figure it out because they went ahead and like figured out everything that it wasn't before. So it's like, don't necessarily focus on the bad part of the past there. Like, yes, it is unfortunate. Spread the knowledge to people that there's another way of thinking about the body, and hopefully, more can get helped in a different way. But I think it's really important that we treat each person as an individual and not just an algorithm that we should follow in treatment.
I agree. I agree. It does make our writing our patient notes more complicated, but
The bane of my existence.
it bane of my existence too. And they've become novels that I write throughout a couple of days instead of like 1 hour. But we, that's what happens when you're look not just looking at the part, but you're looking at the whole. So that's, well, for our profession, that's a big win to have you treating like that. Let's talk about your major career wins and highlights. What would you say some of those were?
I think probably building a practice, like in terms of professionally building a practice that I'm extremely proud of. Like I said, it's authentically me. Like, I didn't pursue anything in a different way. I didn't go with what the fad stuff was. I was just me. And yeah, could I have gotten bigger faster? 100%. But I built the practice from the ground up. I mean, we knew no one when we moved to Southern California. I really had to start from the very bottom. While in the East Coast, I was well known. The West Coast, nobody cared about who I was. Very humbling at first. And so I think just really trucking through and being who I wanted to be and creating the practice and the space that I wanted to led it to being what it is now, which is a successful business that I get to help a lot of people. I mean, it's crazy and I have a hard time tooting my own horn, but I have patients that come from around the world to see me, just to see me. The only continents I haven't treated patients from were Australia and Antarctica. So anybody from those two places, if you want to come and see me.
There are two airports nearby.
Yeah, exactly. You
Wow.
can see me
And
at LAX if you're going to do international, you can do that. But it's like I've had people come from Africa and Asia and Europe and South America and other parts of North America just to come and see
for
me. And
your
that's.
treatment approach and everything that you've put yourself through to learn,
Yeah.
they know that they're going to get that care. I have one thing to say about that. So where Heather did her fellowship, I actually was there too. And one of the most amazing and also inspiring but frustrating things I ever had to experience was there are still people who had seen Heather patients, and I had taken over their case. And they were like, I had this really strong PT and she really knew what she was doing. And, I really want you to treat like that. And then once I realized they were talking about Heather, I was like, oh yeah, I've met Heather. I know her. And they were like, oh, can you try to treat like her? And I would be like, that's what I'm here to do is learn and do the same thing. Or I had one person who looked at me and said, I don't think you can handle me like she can. And
Oh my gosh.
I was like, challenge accepted because I'm here. There's no other option.
Good for
But
you.
at the same time, and then it was a manipulation for the foot and for the ankle, and I got the crack that I needed. And he sat up and he goes, I really didn't think you had it in you. And I looked at him and I was like, so am I like Heather? And he said, So people still know who Heather is over here. And then over where she is, I have zero problem being able to refer to her because I'll see, celebrities here, and then they're going back to their homes on that side. And they're like, "Do you have anybody for my care?" And hands down, I can say I have zero worry. And I also tell them, I'm like, she's going to find other things that I don't see. And that's a good thing. I was like,
And it would
there's
be
not
vice
more.
versa too. I mean, I'm so trusting your patience as well. It's like I have no qualms about it. And it's like I know that you have a solid skill set. I know that you are driven by your own passion, that you're not just trying to, I'm proud of you because you're not trying to fill my shoes. Never try to fill somebody's shoe. You need to be yourself. Like I'm
Also,
also
we're not the same
B.
size shoe.
I
You
wear
wear
size 10 and a
shoes
half in
here,
M's,
Summer.
okay? I wear size 12 in women's. You're not going to be my size shoe.
Oh,
I'm ready to refer people to both of you, honestly. And I haven't even.
it's, I mean, the mission trips and the future PTs. By the way, when I met Heather, she was TAing. And when you TA, it's out of your own free time. It
Yep.
is not, it's a whole weekend and like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and you're donating your time to help others learn. Unpaid gig.
Yep. And even when I did teach, it didn't pay very much either, too. Oh
Yeah,
my
that's
gosh.
true.
I was like, I'm losing a lot of money doing this, but it's like I loved doing it. And I think it's just, like I said, it's important just to try to inspire those other people. And I think also, too, understanding how somebody learns. I think that's a missing piece also sometimes when people are teaching is like, how does someone synthesize information the best way? I mean, it might not be that they're a visual learner. It might be that they're an auditory learner. You have to find where they're at. And actually, I loved TAing more because then it's like I could go to those individual tables and kind of be like, okay, you're not getting this. Let's figure out what it is, what's not sinking in, and then try to be able to kind of tap in so that they can understand it a little bit better. So I think you have to meet people where they're at. You can't expect them to come along with you until you've shown that, hey, I can come along, come along. You can't be too far ahead,
Let me
right?
usher you over here.
Yeah, exactly.
What are some of your personal highlights?
My personal highlights, it sounds cheesy, but it's so true, is finding an amazing partner. My husband, he is fully supportive of everything that I do. And I think that, but it's one of those things like, it's not like he's a walkover, like, he has his own very successful career. We juggle a very hectic lifestyle, but I feel unwavering support from him. And he kind of, if he was going to marry me, it was going to have to happen. When he was asking my dad's permission to marry me, my dad just kind of said, first of all, like, good luck. Are you sure that that's what you want to do? Do you want to
My
marry
dad said
her?
the same thing to my husband.
I was like, Dad, it's supposed to be like, don't hurt my baby girl. Are you good enough? And he's just like, no, I know you. This is a risk. But he told my husband, he was like, you have a tiger by the tail. He goes, you can try and pull that tail and see what happens to you. If you take her in a direction she doesn't want to go, or you try to stop her, you try to inhibit her from what she's going to do, you will get the teeth and the claws. But if you follow along, holding on to that tail, you're going to get put on a wild ride that will be a lot of fun. And he has fully embraced that and has been my biggest cheerleader through everything. So I have to say, like, finding him and then having our daughter. Like, our daughter gave us such a different perspective. She is, everyone jokes that she's like Heather 2.5. She's a little bit extra. She's a little bit more than me. She's a lot, but she is light and happiness, and she just brings just a grounding to my life. And I think the best thing is just seeing her go through the world and being able to help her with that process and just the openness that she has talking with me. It was so cute the other day. She goes, Mama, I gotta tell you something weird. I was like, okay, tell me, what is it? She goes, when I close my eyes, I can tell where everything is in the room and if someone's moving. She goes, is that weird? And I said, no. I was like, you're tapping into the quantum entanglement. It's all quantum mechanics. My dad has a master's in physics. He was a nuclear engineer, all sort of stuff. So I learned all about quantum physics. And I was like, no, you're tapping into it. And we called my dad and asked him, I was like, can you explain quantum entanglement to my daughter? And he said, yeah. He's like, it's like we're all in this blanket. Everybody's just on this blanket and we're sitting there. And some people, they have a hard time feeling it. There needs to be like a huge yank of the blanket for someone to notice something's changing. He goes, but if you can really kind of quiet yourself, tap into it, he's like, you can feel the tiniest threads being pulled. So you being in that room, being in that space, and then just noticing what's happening, he goes, that's you're tapping into the quantum entanglement blanket. And so it's just so amazing to see that she has this
Wow.
passion and this intuition and just this just kindness of heart that I get to be in front row seats and I get to help her kind of process that as she goes through life because she's going to be driven by her passions too. I can just see it now and it's
Yes.
hard, but I can't wait to be able to just give her my perspective, which doesn't always mean much because I'm her mom and her mom knows nothing, but there are times she listens to me,
Didn't
so
you
I'm
have to
hoping that she
convince
will.
her that you were a swimmer?
Yeah, she. I was trying to teach her how to swim, and she goes, "Mama, you don't know how to swim." I was like, "I swear to you, I do." And she's like, "No, you don't." And it wasn't until she saw a picture of me from college, and actually, I was like a 20-foot banner at Northeastern, like this huge banner of me, and I was like, "That's me." She goes, "Oh, I guess you could swim." Like she's
Gosh.
so. Whatever. And she'll like, because of, the very gracious patients I have, she gets all these, fun situations where she gets to go and meet celebrities or go to events. And so she'll get to meet some of my patients and they're like, she's like, really? It's my mom. Like, she's not that great. Because my patients will be like, your mom helped me so much, blah, blah. And she's like,
She
whatever.
can't even swim.
Yeah, she can't even swim. She's not that great. Oh. But she does, like, I think it's amazing, like, that I've been able to build this group that supports me because honestly, like, I'm gonna run a million miles an hour. I need to have people there that are helped to kind of pick up the pieces when that happens because it does. And also just be there to kind of be like, let's go, let's keep going, like, keep supporting my dreams. So I have to say that it's the family that I've created that I think is my biggest personal win.
Wow. I have chills. I have chills. And I just love that you found you built people that support you and like encourage you to follow your dreams because you wanted to follow your dreams as well. That's
Yeah, I don't want to be told no. Like I said, you'll get the teeth and the claws, and
Exactly.
that happens to people. Definitely has happened to people, but for the life that the people that I want to let in, if I'm going to let you into my inner circle, it's going to be somebody that I like. You gotta be there to. I will support you unendingly, but I also need you to support me in the process. So you guys are in my inner circle, though, Jackie. Even though I just met you're also in on the inner
Oh
circle.
my gosh, I feel so lucky.
Can I come to Kids Corner too? Do I get in?
Yes. Duh.
Yes.
Duh. Yes. Yes,
Yeah,
yes, yes.
inducted right now. Perfect. Do we have jackets? Should we get jackets? Like,
We
what's the
need
scenario?
jackets.
We
We need
do. We actually
jackets.
do need jackets. We need
We
jackets.
do. We do. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So, what advice would you give to your younger self?
It's gonna be a wild ride. Just enjoy it. Like I said, nothing was an option for me. I think it was everything that's happened is the way that it was supposed to happen. So just enjoy it. That's all I can say is just, it's fun. And I can't, I mean, I'm going to be 38 this year. So there's still a lot more left to go on this journey.
Oh my gosh, look at us millennials.
It's fun though.
What advice would you have for new grad PTs and possibly separately current practitioners?
New grads, find your mentors, not a coach. I think this is like there's a distinction there that not a lot of people get.
Yeah.
A coach is someone who's going to be there to support you and want you to get better, but there's always going to be some selfishness with there. Like they want you to get the win for their team. They want you to do something for them in the process. So that person's never going to fully have your best intentions in mind. While a mentor, they are there to support you, to help you grow, but it is for nothing for themselves. And that's not to say that an employer can't be a mentor. I have had employers that are mentors, but I have had employers that are coaches and other, other people around me. And it's like you want to look for those people that they really just want the best for you. that they want you to grow, you to learn. They want to be there to support you as much as they can, but it's not because they're getting anything out of it. So I think for new grads, you need to find your mentors, not your coaches.
I always think of, I love Ted Lasso so much. And there's this one part where Keeley, one of the main characters, is asking for advice from this like director of football named Higgins. And she's asking him, I'm gonna leave, but my best friend hired me and I've been offered my own thing. And Higgins says, a good mentor knows you'll leave. A great mentor hopes you'll leave. And I always try to remember that because I, now that you've made this distinction between a coach and a mentor, I've had people who have called themselves coach mentors, but they were really coaches. And all of my mentors, I actually still keep in touch with. So it's, you are Higgins.
I remember hearing that and I was like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, since you and
Mm-hmm.
I have had so many learning opportunities, we've kind of had to learn that. So I love how you phrase that, a coach versus a mentor.
Yeah, and same thing then if you're opening your own practice. Like I have helped mentor a lot of especially women. Men, it's interesting. Men don't want to come to me for advice for whatever reason, but women do. And so I do not gatekeep that stuff. I will tell you, sometimes my husband's like, are we gonna give away all of our secrets of stuff? And I'm like, I was afraid that no one was ever going to come to me ever again, then I would probably keep that to myself. But there are more people out there to help, and I want to empower these women to become practice owners. And so find also a mentor for opening up your own practice, someone that you can just bounce questions off of, just there to kind of, I mean, I have people all the time that will just like that I've, have had practices now for years. That they'll just send me a message of like, hey, I'm struggling with this. Do you have any idea of what to do? And it's like, well, I can just tell you what I've experienced and what I've done to kind of help that in the process. And so I think finding people that can help mentor you in that point is really important. And then also not be afraid to give free sessions. So when I was first starting out, I couldn't get anybody into my practice, right? Nobody knew who I was. And so I did three free sessions for all of my mommy and me moms. So I did a mommy and me class after I had my daughter, and I was like, all right, well, I've opened up a practice. Can't get anybody into it really. So three free sessions to all you moms. And if you like what you're experiencing, then tell your friends, tell your family, like tell other people. And that was honestly a huge catalyst to building my practice, was just getting people in the door and being like, here, like try out a couple free sessions, because the approach that Danny and I do is so different than traditional PT that you can say it all you want, but until you experience it, it
It
just
isn't,
doesn't click.
it's an experience. And also, because of the way that we treat, and again, 100 of the same name of diagnosis can come in, but it's for 100 different reasons. There are 100 different individuals. We're experiencing it at the same time because one person's treatment isn't going to look like the other, even if they both have plantar fasciitis. So, yes.
So I'm gonna be afraid, like, don't be afraid to go out there, put yourself out there. You gotta hustle, you gotta go for it, but don't be afraid to give out those free treatments. That might be your best form of advertising, is just getting your name out that way. So I'd say don't be afraid to give away some free ones. And then also the nice thing about that, especially if you're just building your space, is that then you can kind of see, well, how does my space work? How do I want to change things around? You don't feel as guilty because you're like, these are free sessions for them. These people are having us to
I
get
can move
in.
this
So it's
around.
like, I can mess around because like I was messing around with like, where exactly is my treatment table going to go in this room when I was
I just
treating those
changed
women?
mine. I just changed mine on Saturday where I moved everything in this room.
Because you're like, well, how does it work? And you don't feel so bad when you're like, well, you're all getting free sessions. So, yep, you're going to be my guinea pigs on this.
It's like when we're working on staging, Jackie.
Well, I'm so glad you said that, Heather, because I was wondering. I was like, I wonder how she got her clients or her patients when she first started, because you had just moved there.
Yeah,
That's a
it was
brilliant way to do it.
just giving out free, because I tried going to the doctor's office. I brought bottles of wine to the receptionist. I did everything, and no one wanted to talk to me. They're like, we have our list of PTs. We can put your name on that. I was like, no, what I do is different. I'm different. And it's like part of like, I'm a big deal. No, no one cares. It's
I
like my
have
kid being
many
like,
leather-bound books.
yeah, exactly. So it's like, okay, no, come in here and try it out. So honestly, just you got to be a hustler. That's for sure. You can't just, stay in the background on that one.
And also, Let's talk about taking our time with our patients. That's a unique approach that we do as well. And go into that for a little bit.
There have been times with really complicated, so all my sessions are an hour long. That's kind of where I've kept it. I know you do some 90 minutes, Danny, but I kind of like hours is the easiest way that I can schedule things out. So I have an hour one-on-one with my patients, and it's like I'm going to take that time. And I have mentored people, and I've been like, don't be afraid to spend the majority of that time talking to them to figure out what the problem is. I've never had a patient get mad at me for paying for an hour of us just kind of talking. And maybe I get up and get to try some tested kind of things, but I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what's the root cause so that we can go through this so much faster. If I just start treating without really understanding what the whole picture is, then we're going to be wasting so much more money, so much more time
And we
trying
don't
to
know
play catch
when.
up.
Yeah, we're trying to, it's about figuring out a hypothesis and then testing it.
So I think that that's the biggest thing is like, you just have to take your time and really listen to the patient and also become friends with the patient. Like, I don't want to say friends like you're like hanging out outside. I mean, sometimes that happens, but they need to get comfortable with you. Like, I don't go by doctor. I refuse to go by doctor. If anybody calls me
Same,
doctor, I'm like,
same.
do not say that to
I'm
me.
like, nope.
Nope. I'm like, I only do that if I'm calling a doctor's office to get
Yeah.
through. But other than that, I'm like, I never use that title because people don't want to talk to you then. And it's when I start to learn more about their life and what their habits are and what's going on that then it starts to kind of break open the pieces of the puzzle that it's like, oh, okay, that's probably what's happening there. But if they don't feel like they can get to know you, that they can be vulnerable with you, then you're never going to figure it out. Because if you go by doctor, it's almost like this wall's been put up in between you. So you
But
really
that
just need
also
to.
takes a lot to set aside your ego, because in New York City, a lot of people go by, I'm Dr. So-and-so. And yes, we have our doctor of physical therapy. But at that point, when as soon as a patient steps into your room, you make them feel like it's about them. It's not about you. And that's what I'm hearing.
It's I'm fully on them. I'm giving them all my attention. I'm not looking at my computer screen. I'm looking at them in the eyes. It's amazing. I had an eval this week that she goes, I went to a doctor that he had his back to me the entire time. She goes, he only looked at me at the very end. She goes, he was just typing on his computer. She's like, he didn't even listen to a word I had to say. And I'm like, no, I'm eyes on. I'm typing a few little like, the key phrases that I need to remember for later on, but it's
That'll
like
help trigger. Yeah.
But it's like eyes on the patient and make them feel comfortable enough to be able to be vulnerable. Because it is a vulnerable thing to come in to have someone work on your body to invade your space, especially if you're someone that's been to a bunch of other people. You can tell the ones that are standoffish that have been through a million different practitioners.
Yeah.
They have their like rote memorizing that they say, and it's like, okay, like I let them get through it, and then I like go deeper into the things. I laugh. I actually had a patient once who she had done so many forms for other doctors that then she started to put in like a weird sentence in the middle of it to see if anybody would have read it. So when I'm like in the eval, I'd already read all of her paperwork and we're going through, and I was like, yeah, and that's really interesting that you also think that you have a lizard tail. Can you explain to me why you have a lizard tail? And she just started laughing. She's like, oh my God, you read my paperwork? I was like, yes, I read your paperwork. Like, nice try, but I'm going to read all that inside through. But it was like,
Is actually concerning me.
exactly. Because it's like, I knew why she was doing it. I knew why she was doing it. I had someone else that put on like their pronouns, His Royal Highness. And so I was like, oh, hello, sir. And he's like, oh my God, you read my paper. I'm like, yes, I read your paperwork. I'm not going to not read your paperwork because I want to know what's happening with you. I want to understand you. And I'm going to do my research to figure that out first.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah.
It feels like it's as coming from someone that is not in this world, right? I've been to physical therapy before, but not on a regular basis or anything. But to me, I'm like, this seems like a no-brainer. Wouldn't you want to know what's going on with the whole body? But it seems like that's not the way that everybody does it.
No. And that's happening. I'm sure Danny hears it all the same. Like I hear that all the time. And I'm sure you
All
do
the
too,
time.
Danny.
It's I haven't had a patient yet that hasn't.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they're like, this is
It's
duh.
also
Is it
really
shouldn't
interesting.
everybody treat this way? I'm like,
Yeah.
that's the hope. That's why I'm
And
trying to
what
mentor and try to get that out there.
I will say that, when we're doing our clinicals, it's almost like I don't recognize that practitioner when I first graduated or was getting those clinical affiliations done compared to what I know now. And there's some times where I think about the patients that I've seen, and yeah, they ended up getting better. But then I would hear that they're like back in PT, and it was because other drivers weren't addressed. And now I think about sometimes how I've treated in the past, and I'm like, I missed treating on that nerve, or I actually should have probably worked on their liver around on top, which is like not just their rib cage. I should have worked on their organs because it was probably coming from that because I remembered something, but I didn't know to do that. And now it's really cool to be able to treat like that.
And that's okay that you didn't know at the time, because the important thing is that now you do, and you can go forward, and you can do best by your, but each patient I have, I'm going to treat them better than the patient I had before them, because
And that's
it's
why you
more
call it
information
practice.
that I've taken in and synthesized.
Each time we're better with our patients, each visit. I love that vulnerability too, that you were talking about, where you allow the patient to let their vulnerability come out by removing your ego and creating a space for them. And then they're moving through their emotions or their like rote explanations that they've already memorized that they want to get out. And then they're like, you're like, yes, and it's improv. And you're so many of practitioners are like, no, but blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yes, and.
Yes, and I think also just being vulnerable yourself will make other people be vulnerable. Like I realized that after I had a miscarriage, early miscarriage right before I had my got pregnant with my daughter, and even though I knew that from a medical standpoint, it wasn't right. It wasn't meant to be. Like, that's, the miscarriage is going to happen. I still felt so alone. And it's like, no one was talking about that. And then I said it to a few patients. I'm like, yeah, I had miscarriage. And they're like, oh, yeah, I've had this many. Or I've had, like, everyone had a story. And I'm like, how come no one's talking about this?
Nobody talks about it.
Nobody talks about it. And it's just like, you would feel so much less alone. Like, I do the same thing with my friends. Like, I'm very vulnerable with them. I don't, it's not like a trauma dump on them, but it's like, I'll tell you what I'm going through. I'll tell you stuff that I've happened. One of my friends, I take this as a huge compliment. She sent me a meme once that said, find that friend that you tell your worst, most embarrassing, like, vulnerable story to. And they say, oh, you think that's bad? Wait till you hear this. She goes, you're that friend for me.
Thank you. Well, actually, that was a great segue to you apparently have when you were living in Connecticut, you had to take the Metro North.
Oh, this was actually, so wait, it already moved. You're talking about my pregnancy story?
Your pregnant belly moments.
Yeah. So we had already moved to the West Coast, and my mom was nice enough to throw me a baby shower in the East Coast, because we hadn't made friends on the West Coast yet. So we went back when I was 36 weeks pregnant, so literally the last moment for me to travel. And my mom, she's so sweet, and she's never lived in a city, and she's very prim and proper. I love her so much. So we were riding the Metro North in to go in for dinner, and there were no seats. And she had actually just had her second knee replacement. So she had her first one in October and had her second one in January. And this was March when we were like doing it. So I'm like, I want to find her a seat. No one is getting up. And I'm getting so pissed. Like, somebody get up. Like, what are you doing here? And I even asked one of the conductors, I was like, can you help us out? He goes, like, no, you just got to find one. And so we're just having to walk back. We had to walk back four cars. And the second to last one, there's a group of guys just standing there in like the middle, like right by the door where you can go in between the two cars. And I was like, excuse me. And they won't move. And I'm like, excuse me. And they won't move. And so then I was like, this does not suck in. So either you get out of the way or you're going to get smacked by my belly. And they quickly like off to the sides. And my mom was horrified. She's like, why would you talk to them that way? I'm like, they're not moving. I don't give a shit. Like, I'm so sick and tired of this. And then on the next one, there was a like early 20 guy in his early 20s that got up and got out of his seat so that my mom and I could sit down. And I was just like, finally, there's all these other people. I'm like, get your asses up. But yeah, no, I was threatening to I was so mad.
Does
Oh, I
not
would have
suck in
been
36 weeks.
pissed. I would have been pissed. Today on the New Jersey Transit, this guy was there. So there's like a three seater, and this guy was laying on it. And I was like, can I sit there? And he like gave me like the blankest stare. And I was like, I don't have time for you right now. But I was like, are you serious? Like, are you really for real? This train is
It's
packed.
infuriating.
It is. It's horrible. I've also
Oh.
learned though, at least with like the subway system in New York, that if there is an empty car and all the rest of them are full, it's empty for a reason. Because I made the mistake once going in to a homeless guy laying on there that had pissed himself and shat himself, and it was all on the floor. And I was like, "Oh yeah,
Or
okay.
when
Glad
you
this isn't
like
an express."
or you get onto the train and you're like, nobody's at this door, and you see everybody to one side of the car and it doesn't register, and you get in there and you're like, oh,
Oh,
I've
right.
made a terrible mistake.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. So it's fun. I do miss the city though, for sure. I love New York.
Transitioning back to more of a vulnerable space, I just wanted to throw that out there. Since this is my turn, when we say grab the mic and take your turn, what does that look like for you?
Honestly, I feel like that means like be vulnerable, be out there, be willing to share yourself and what you know, and don't gatekeep. There's no reason to gatekeep that stuff. You know, it's like someone asks, like, "Oh, I love your shirt. I got it here. You want to know where I got it from? It's here you go." If people ask for help on stuff, it's like, "Yeah, here you go." If you know, I think that when it's you take the mic, then you help bring everybody else around you up. You know, my parents always raised me that a good leader does not stand on them. A good leader will take everybody else and push them up over their heads. The other people are the ones that are supposed to shine, not you. It's like you should be in the bottom. Like, I don't like being the center of attention. People will laugh when I say that because I'm an extrovert, but I really don't. I want everyone else around me to shine. That's what my role is in this world. And so it's like, no. Like, time to like help everybody else around. Don't be afraid. Be secure in yourself that good things will come from it. Because if you give, you get back tenfold whatever you give. So raise everybody else up.
Oh, yes. Take that sound bite. That's what I need to hear all the time. I love that. What does taking up space mean to you, and how are you doing so?
I have always taken up space. There is no ifs, ands, or buts around it. Like I said, I'm 5'10", like 200
Tall
pounds.
girls can that.
I'm still a lot of muscle. I mean, I remember it was just like a year ago, I had my body composition done. I have 86 pounds of muscle. That's not lean, like that's not including bone. That's just muscle. Like
Oh my gosh.
I will always take up a lot of space. So
Math.
thank you. Thank you very much. So really what's taking up space now for me is them being there to support my daughter as she's going to go through it too. They think she's going to be around 6 feet tall. She has a muscular build already, and I want to be there for her to navigate that because people are very upset when you take up space. Just the other day at Target, I had a guy accost me and my daughter, and he was like, "You're that alpha female energy, like just coming at me about." And I was just standing in line at checkout. I had moved the plastic divider thing to be back behind my stuff so that he could put his stuff down. And he was like, "You remind me of someone I know. I didn't like her. She had that alpha female energy." Like he was just coming at me with stuff. And it's like, normally I would have walked away from that situation, but I was literally getting checked out in the process, so I couldn't leave. My daughter's there with me. She's kind of scared. So I had to show her, like, "No, I got this." I moved her. She moved to my side away from this man. And he kind of kept coming. And I said, finally at the end, I was like, "Well, you know, I think the sign of a true alpha is that she doesn't need to tell you she's an alpha. You can just see it from looking at her."
Mic fucking drop.
Looked him straight in the eyes. He was someone that was shorter than me, and every time he was talking, he kept puffing up his chest more and more and more just to make himself bigger. And so when we got into the car, and well, also too, by after I said that to him, he goes, "Yeah, it looks like you could do a lot of damage to me." And I'm like, "But I'm not." I mean, I didn't even say anything. I just kind of like moved away. It's like, I'm not going to. But it's like I, throughout my life, have had people like really try to tear me down for taking up space. You know, starting at 10 years old, getting said that I take anabolic steroids as a 10-year-old. I mean, come on now. You know, I've had men come up to me and say that no man will ever marry me because I'm too big. I had a guy the other day that was like, "Whoa, I don't want to meet you in the back of an alleyway." And I'm like walking my dog on the street. I'm like, "I've done
Because of
nothing
the
to you."
dog?
No,
No.
because of me. Yeah, exactly. Because of my he's, I mean, he's 60 pounds. I mean, he's not a little dog, but it's like, are you serious? And so I think for me, taking up space is helping my daughter navigate that because she's going to have that happen. And so after the Target situation, I pulled her aside in the car and I said, what that man said was not appropriate. He has no right to make a comment on my body and who I am. But that is going to happen. And how you can handle it is just stay firm, remove yourself from the situation if you can, if it doesn't feel safe. But just know that it's okay to take up space. You can't have people tearing you down because of it. It's okay to do it because, like I said, it doesn't matter where I go, people are gonna know I'm there. I even had someone that I worked with that I'll say that he was a coach, not a mentor. He even told me, you need to make yourself smaller in the treatment room. I need you. He's like, you're intimidating. You're too intimidating to the men. You need to, like, literally, you need to, like, hunch your shoulders. You need to make yourself smaller. You need to turn away. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that because that's your problem. That's not my problem, which I also made sure when I talked to an actual mentor that I had that I worked with, and I said, this person just said this to me. Can
Yeah.
you, is that what's going on? And I'm just not reading it. And he's like, no, that is not happening. He's like, that's their issues. That's not a problem with you. And so it's like, people are going to try to tear you down, and what you have to understand is like, no, I'm acting in a way of kindness. I am here, and yeah, I'm not going to be in your face unless you do something really, really, really bad. It takes a lot to get me into a lot of anger, but just it's okay to be there and in that space. I don't get to be 5'3". I don't know what that feels like, Danny, to be little, and
To be
that's.
fair, I have had people, I shrink, I do shrink myself because I was tired of having people say, wow, you present a lot taller or a lot bigger than 5'3", but like not in a good way, as in
Yeah.
like a match your size. And I had a mentor that told me that. He said, when you're in the room with the patient, make yourself. Let the patient be the bigger thing in the room, which I totally agree as far as that. But it was make sure you make your voice softer. Make sure that everything that you do matches the size that you are. You keep projecting too much. But authentically, all the patients that keep referring to me now, they're okay with my personality.
Yeah.
So I was told, you know, your personality is too big and it's off-putting.
Yeah, and that's their issue. What I've learned is like it's that bad person issue, and that if you are truly authentically yourself, it will shine through, and people want to be around you, and people will want to be near you. So,
And
taking up space right now, what?
you're gonna attract the people and the patients in your life that you want to.
Yeah. Exactly. So taking up space right now is just helping my daughter navigate that because she's young and I mean, she looks way older than what she is, and it's going to be the same sort of road for her, unfortunately. She already gets that. People act like she's way older than she is and expect her to be a certain way because they think that she's, like a teenager, and we're nowhere near the teenage years. And so for her, I just want to be able to be there for her to still have confidence moving forward. So taking up space is helping others, in my mind, that take up space to just own it and be okay with it.
My gosh, I'm like crying here. She's so lucky to have you as
Thanks.
your
I'm
daughter.
lucky to have her too.
It's just really beautiful.
Yeah, it's okay to be yourself and it's okay to be you. And I think that's what a lot of people try to take out of you and beat out of you. And it's just like I said, if you're driven by your passions, like I said, people have tried to tear me down my whole life, but I'm driven by what I feel inside of me and how I need to move forward. And in the end, that's always going to win. And I just have empathy for those people because that's a sad way to have to go through life. Like, I could be angry and I could be upset and I could have that, consume me, but that's gonna just hurt me. That doesn't hurt them. So all I can do is just feel sorry for them that they have to feel that way. And I hope that they find inner peace and find their own self-confidence so that they don't have to keep trying to tear other people down to their levels.
Oh,
So yeah,
yes.
but I'll always take up space. And
Oh
I'll always, but you can always fit in my nook, Danny. Okay. You can always
my gosh,
you
I'm
can, I'm
so
gonna tell you.
organized.
But I
Hug.
always create nooks for everybody. That's what everyone says. My hugs are like I'm taking them in, and I will always take everybody in.
Oh,
Oh, I love
it's so
that.
true. I think you're able to, without physically hugging somebody, you've mastered this art of like people that you let in or with your patients, like they feel that organizing hug and that empathy without physical touch. And that's like part of your magic.
Well, thank you. And I just want everybody to feel that love. I have resting nice face. Everybody always comes up and asks me for advice or asks me for directions, or even if I'm in for I was in the Copenhagen's central train terminal trying to find my own way and had this group of older women that were locals coming up asking me where to go. And I was like, I have my suitcases here. I'm not even from here. I don't know where to go. And it's
Resting
just like
nice face.
I have resting nice face. Everybody always asks me to take pictures for them. I was okay, so I have to say one funny story. I was actively in labor. Actively in labor. My husband is making us walk around just try to progress it. We're overlooking this beautiful sunset, and I'm like holding my belly, just like, oh God. And this woman comes from around the bench and like goes to me. And she goes, "Can you take our picture? Like me and my husband's picture?" And I was like, oh, I was like, can my husband take it? And I'm actively having a contraction. And she goes, really? And I said, and he's like, she's in labor right now. We're actually about to go to the hospital. He's like, I'll take multiple ones. You can find the one you like. And she was like, fine. So it's like, she couldn't even see me. Like I was from the back. So it's like, there's something about me that then people come and ask, but it was just so funny. I'm just
You're
looking at her like,
magnetic.
please don't make me stand up right now. My uterus is trying to push out a baby. Just can't stand upright.
It's so good.
That's
So
amazing.
I have resting nice face, and so people will always come to me, and I will always help them out if I can. Even if I'm running to catch a train, I will always try to help out those that ask for it because it's hard to ask for help. It's hard to be vulnerable, so I'll be there for whoever needs it.
Oh, I love that. That should be the title of your book, Resting Nice Face.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Yes. I'm so excited for your future book now.
Yes.
Let's just add another thing to the list of things that I have to do.
You can do it. You can do
Exactly.
it. Just
Exactly.
make it a passion. We're gonna go into the segment that's rapid fire questions.
I will actually try to answer these rapid fire rather than going long-winded.
Okay. I'm
Exactly.
going to ask the first three and then Jackie, you rapid fire the next ones.
Okay.
So, okay, what's your must-have PT tool?
My anatomy book.
What fuels your day, coffee or passion? I think we know.
Both.
Oh, both. That that's
I have to
that's
wake up at 4:15 in the morning to go to my LA office, so I need coffee.
Oh my
But
gosh.
once I get there, I'm extremely fueled by passion. But the hour drive to get up there, I need coffee to get there. So
Wow.
both.
Gosh. Favorite way to unwind after work?
Podcasts, listening to podcasts. My 2+ hour commute home from my LA office, I just listen to podcasts and that is my me time. I don't call anybody. I don't interact with anything. I just listen to, I love Armchair Expert. And then I listen to you ladies now too.
So honored.
You guys are on my
Armchair
list. Those are the two
Avis.
podcasts I listen to right now, Armchair Expert and you guys.
Oh, I love
Oh my
that.
gosh. I love that we were put right next to Armchair. Dax,
Wow.
Dax, we're coming at you.
Dax and
Wow.
Monica, all about it.
Yes. Ooh, I'm honored. What would be the theme song for your life?
I had to think hard about this one, but I decided About Damn Time by Lizzo.
Yes. Okay, we're adding that to the playlist today.
Because it's like, I wanted something positive. Like she talks about, like, I've been through a lot or whatever, but it's like, yeah, it's about damn time. So I'm like, I like the positive spin. I'll always be positive.
Yes. What's your favorite song right now and why?
I would have to say Benson Boone's Beautiful. We went through my husband, there was a death in the family. He had to be out of the country for like 3 months. So it was just my daughter and I. So trying to navigate that. And it was so hard for her. And honestly, the scream singing that happens in that song, we had it
Oh.
on repeat. And it was so cathartic for her just to like get out all of her emotions. And I will forever be grateful for him. So if you're out there listening to this, please know that that helped my family through some really tough times.
Oh, I love that. If your life were a movie, what genre would it be?
Dramedy.
Oh,
I'll always find the positive in this. So my husband jokes that last year we went sledding in Steamboat and we come down this huge hill and like he and my mom and my daughter would both be like kind of anxiously looking to see who's coming and just like, more like worried about if they were going to get hit or whatever moving. He goes, "You and your dad come down there." And he's like, "You guys are just laughing your asses off, just having the best time ever." He's like, "You're still aware of what's going on around you, but he's like, you guys are just the eternal optimists." And he's like, "I don't get it." So for me, there's a lot of drama that's happened in my life. There's a lot of like hits that I've been taken, but I will always find the comedy and I will always laugh. So I'm gonna have to say a dramedy.
Love
I
it.
love it.
I'm obsessed. Obsessed. What's your go-to Santa Monica or LA area food spot?
I love Everson Royce Bar or ERB in the Arts District. It's got a really cool like beer garden vibe in the back, and they play all different types of music. One time we were there, it was like late 90s, early aughts, hip hop and rap. It's like they do oldies back there. They do. It's just a super cool vibe with good food. I think the chef is actually a James Beard award-winning chef, and so it's like you've got barbecue, like the nachos. They're nachos, but they are elevated, delicious nachos.
Oh, yes.
Nachos
Yes.
elegante.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So I love ERB that, and they allow kids back there. It's an awesome place. So I really enjoy that. And the Arts District is a really cool area of LA as well.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, best place to people watch where you are and where is it?
Go to any museum. And I love to see people in LA. They're very, they try to think that they know what's going on in the art world or try to think that it's something bigger and more important than it is. And so it's really fun to see how they take in the space because it's all just lies. I have my clock in Santa Monica fell off the wall years ago. And part of it's like there's missing a piece of glass in there. And I had bought something to replace it. And I had a patient go, "I really like this artwork. I mean, it just says so much. It's like missing time and it's broken and it's fractured." And I was like, it was a whole thing. And I was like, I have to keep this now. And I have had multiple patients that have like talked about it as this like amazing artwork. And I'm like, this has to stay. So.
Oh my gosh.
So going to an art museum and just seeing how people like people that don't know, which I mean, I don't know either. Don't get me wrong, but it's just like the oh yes, like the fakeness of it is my favorite.
Love it so much. Oh
Yeah,
my
my
goodness,
broken
so
heart.
good.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for
And
having me, ladies.
we know that you don't often have time off, and now that you did, you spent it with us, so that really means a lot,
It was very
especially when
kismet.
you're a mom and running two practices.
Yeah, a little busy, but
It's
I was
just
very
so
happy that and
generous.
honored that you guys wanted to spend time with me and wanted to hear my story. It makes me feel very special and loved, and hopefully it was, even if it just touches one person, then it meant that it was time very well spent.
Oh, I mean, there were so many golden nuggets. I was like taking notes at the same time. So, if people want to contact you, what's your Instagram handle?
Superior Performance PT is the way to find me.
And
And then
then have a website?
also and same thing with the website, it's superiorperformancept.com. And then if I get the podcast up and going again, it's called
When?
the I don't know yeah, when I get it up and going, that's called the Body Fusion Therapy Podcast.
Oh,
Oh,
cool.
I love it. So we will be putting that in the show notes. And thank you so much for being vulnerable with us. This is definitely going to
always.
be one of our longer podcasts, but
Sorry, ladies.
no, with good
Worth
reason,
it.
because there's just so much to cover in your dramedy. I mean, there was ups and downs and turns, and even before we got to your career. So thank you so much for sharing your story and also having the awareness to look back and reflect and garner insights from that.
Well, thank you very much. And you guys are creating an amazing space where it's easy to talk, and you guys are being your own little Dax and Monica. So it's amazing.
Oh, thank
I can't
you.
believe you just said that. Thank you so much.
It's true. It's true. I don't give compliments unless I really mean them. That's one thing
I
I'm
do
like,
believe that. I
yeah.
do believe that.
Oh, that means a lot. It was such a pleasure to meet you today.
My
I feel
pleasure to meet
like
you too, Jackie.
I'm so excited. I have like a new friend. This is
Yeah.
so exciting.
You're in the nook. You're in the inner circle. You're in the nook.
I'm in
We're
the
gonna get
nook.
jackets.
Yes, we're gonna get jackets. Yes.
Oh my, kids corner. Kids
Yes.
corner. All right. Well, thank you, listeners, for listening. And we will hopefully get another one up after this. So, Tuesdays and Thursdays, we are aiming to upload. And remember to grab that mic.
Because it's
My
your
turn.
turn.
My
Yes.
turn. My turn.
Mine,
No one
mine,
else's.
mine.
Mine.
All of ours.
All right. All right. Signing off.
Yes, bye.